Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our weekly gathering. It's good to be here this morning. I hope you all had a lovely Christmas. And at this point, we'll have our opening song and also take this this opportunity to turn to one another virtually and shake hands over the pew, shake hands and exchange greetings. So I will, I'll let go of the mic so Lynn can play our opening song while we say hello to one another.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Are awakening to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here, standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love. Chidananda, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Satchidananda.
I hope my volume is okay. If you say no, I'm not sure. I got a new laptop here, and if it's not okay, then I don't know what to do about it. Okay, good. All right. So at this point, I would like to share with you our purpose, Awakening Together's purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and rest in its embrace. Thank you, Sonia. And I would like to share with you one of our core values, core value number 3. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Thank you, Barb, for posting our purpose and our core value number 3. All right, let's look at our announcements this morning. This is such fun. I love being here with you guys. Thanks. Thanks for letting me do this. Okay, announcements. As a result of your feedback at our remodel forum that we held 2 weeks ago, we are already beginning to make changes to offerings in the sanctuary. tomorrow, please watch your inbox for a quick 10-question survey, and it is really quick. I've taken the survey. Regina designed the survey based on what we did a couple weeks ago, but it's a very quick 10-question survey about initial changes that we're planning to make to the sanctuary. Your feedback on this survey this week will help us offer programs that interest you at the times that suit you best, suit you and your schedule best. The survey, again, should only take about 10 minutes, so please respond as soon as you can. If you don't see the survey in your inbox tomorrow, please check your spam folder. That may be where it is. Okay, so let's talk about some of the new programs. Some of the new sanctuary programs coming soon include Science of Mind. There's a 12 steps group, a Sufi contemplation group, and we'll have further details and full details on these and other groups in the Awakening Together daily update emails. So watch those daily update emails closely. If you don't currently receive the daily update, you can sign up on our website under the Join Us menu. There will indeed be several exciting changes to the sanctuary over the next few months, and the daily update is the best way to find out about those changes without missing anything. Yeah, we're all very excited about the new additions. Hang on just a second. Let me get a drink here. Okay, and now for a very special announcement. The United States Internal Revenue Service has formally recognized Awakening Together as a church. Awakening Together applied for church status on December the 15th, 2014. In July of 2015, we received a letter from the IRS stating that a physical place of worship is required in order for an organization to be classified as a church under the IRS code. However, that letter was not a final decision. It was a request for information. We were provided with the opportunity to show that we are indeed a church based on United States law and legal precedent. Several people worked very hard participating in creating our response to the IRS, including several of you who wrote letters stating that Awakening Together is your church of choice. On December 15th, 2015, the IRS agreed with you by awarding Awakening Together with formal church status. We want to just take this opportunity to thank everyone who participated in the process. That includes everyone who currently serves and previously served on our member board of trustees and board of directors, as well as every member who took the time to write a letter to the IRS on behalf of our application for church status. I think we believe that that made a big difference in the granting of church status, the practical and obvious support of our members. So we do appreciate your commitment to our church family, and we are so very excited to have that formal recognition of church status. So thank you for everything that you've done. Yeah, it is huge. It's a big deal. Yeah, it is interesting. It's very, very interesting. So, but we couldn't be more pleased. Okay. It's fun to be able to share that. Yeah. A wonderful way to end the year, no question. No question about it. Well, we already, the question is, what does that really mean, no taxes? We were already a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, a public charity. One of the things that this means is it makes record keeping a lot easier easier for us to file our taxes at the end of the year. But I tell you what, what I'd like to do is just let go of the mic for a minute, because I'd like for Regina to be able to speak to our recognition as a church. So I'm just going to let go of the mic, and Regina, if you don't mind, take the mic and give us your thoughts on this.
Sure. Well, I think the first thing to say, and to me it really is the most important, the first thing to say is that the reason we applied for church status is simply because I received the guidance to start a church. So we didn't do it to get anything, and I think that's very important. I think it's very important for us to realize we don't know why we were guided to become a church. We are just following guidance. So that's most important. However, with that said, there is an extra advantage to being a church with the IRS. Now, this is why the IRS has to approve it. We were already a 501c3, which means we were already a tax-exempt organization. We have been since 2006. There is very careful oversight of all 501c3s. They have to file a form once a year, and we have gotten big enough that that form is very, very large. Lots of detailed information is asked for on that form. It typically takes me around 60 hours, 60 hours to fill out the form. And as we grow and expand, it's just going to get more and more complicated. In fact, once we get a retreat center and all of that, the truth is Regina Don Akers would no longer be able to fill out the form. We would have to hire an accountant. They say the average price paid to an accountant to fill out that form every year is $10,000. Churches aren't required to fill out that form each year. Churches are released from that oversight. So, you know, that alone is a very nice benefit. But I'm not going to say that's why we applied for church status. The only reason we applied for church status is because in mid-December 2012, I received guidance to start a church. And so, you know, maybe 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we'll all be having a greater understanding of why we were a church than we do today. You know, sometimes hindsight gives us a little bit of knowledge. But I would say we're just following guidance, and here we go, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch it unfold. Thank you, Jacqueline. The mic is yours.
Thanks for sharing, Regina. I appreciate you sharing that. I remember when Regina called and shared her guidance with us, and we were like, "You want to do what?" but we were right there, and so it's just nice to see it come to fruition. So, thank you again, and thank you everyone for your participation in that. All right, let's get to this. Let me see where we are in our service here. Okay. at this point, we will have an opening song. So Lynn has graciously agreed to play the music for us again this morning, and I will turn this back over to Lynn. I'm seeing what Regina wrote. It was very hard for me to even say the word church back then. Yeah, that's kind of the way we felt too, but here we are. So Lynn, if you will please play us our opening song here. I'll let go of the mic.
Let go of the shore. lift your sails in faith and trust that you will arrive. Let go.
Beautiful. What a perfect song. Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. So it's this point in our service for prayer or invocation. And let's just all just take this opportunity to really be in the fullness of this moment, to just sit in the fullness of this moment without the need to bring in our past, without the need to sit and contemplate our future. Let's just be in the fullness of the moment. I am so grateful to have you, my church family. I am so grateful for the opportunity to look deeply at the teachings that are presented me and to share those with you. I am grateful to the universe. I am grateful to each and every one of you. Amen. Teddy. All right. So, the talk today, seeing from the eyes of wholeness. our reading today will be by our one of our trustees, Gloria Wells, and Gloria will read from NTI 1 John chapter 5, and I will let go of the mic. So,
well, good morning to everybody. What great news we have today. And I just, when Jacqueline gave the call to be in this present moment, I was just filled with gratitude. I'm just so grateful to be a part of what we have began, started, and where we're going is just overcome with gratitude this morning. So hopefully I can get through this lovely reading, which is, as Jacqueline said, it's NTI 1 John chapter 5, which was scribed by Regina Dawn Akers. So I'll just start the reading here. The symbol of seeing Jesus as the Christ is the same as seeing all brothers as the Christ. For the seeing that recognizes the Christ is not without, but it is within. When you see the Christ in you, you see the Christ in everyone and everything. And when you see the Christ in anyone, you also see the Christ in you. This is what is meant by transcend or overcome the world. It is when you see the world and yet you see beyond the world, so that you know what it is that you see, and you are no longer fooled by the images of the world. God has given eternal life, and this life is his Son. To understand this is to understand everything, and to understand everything is to love everything. There is no judgment when you see through the eyes of God, for through the eyes of God you see nothing to judge. You see only perfection, and you know that the perfection you see is God. In seeing God and in knowing God, confidence is also known. For in seeing God and in knowing God, one knows that he receives only as he has asked. In knowing this, his desire to know anything that is different from this fact is taken away. Because to remember the truth is to want only the truth. And to want only the truth is a gratitude that desires nothing different than what is. Sin does not lead to death, because sin is misperception and death is not real. In seeing this, you see God. And in seeing God, you see this. We know only that the truth is true, but in knowing this is all knowledge given, for there is nothing else to know. In seeing this is all sight given, for there is nothing else to see. And in hearing this is all hearing given, for there is nothing else to hear. Do not let your desire rest on knowledge or experience that is not truth. Seek only truth, and the truth shall find you. This is why I have said, knock and the door shall be opened. Amen. And that concludes the reading, and I'll let go of the mic. Thank you.
Thank you, Gloria. What I like to do is kind of share how I got where I've gotten with this topic. And so let me do that. In my weekly Course in Miracles class, I was looking at, and I don't have the sites in front of me. I've made a couple of notes here, but, oh, don't worry about the sound, Gloria. It's fine. And in fact, my plan is to look at that passage again at the end of the talk. So, it was fine. Don't worry about it. But, okay. So in looking at, A Course in Miracles, all I can do, of course, is give you my interpretation of what I've read from the text that I reference. But in looking at A Course in Miracles, it was talking about shadow figures and how you never really interact with people or even situations in the current moment. What you're doing is you're interacting with these shadow figures. And what I took from that was, based on, you know, reading it in context, was, you know, what we're doing is we're interacting not with with what's going on now, but with the lack of what's going on now. So that when I'm interacting with somebody, I'm thinking about how they failed to do this or that for me, how they were never there for me, or how they're always been selfish in the past, or how, you know, how I can expect them to say something smart aleck, or, I'm looking at what they failed to do for me. So I'm seeing them from this lack position, and that's who I'm interacting with. I'm not interacting with the person that is sitting in front of me right now. And so the Course talks about, you know, being in the holy instant with that person, and how you come to the holy instant is to leave all that crap, all that that lack and limiting view of them to just leave that out. And that's not only true, of course, for people, but it's true for each thing that we encounter, each situation that we encounter. The Course also talks about, interacting with your past thoughts as opposed to what's really going on right now, just as Kathy says. Yeah. And, the Course also talks about the idea of faith versus faithlessness. And one of my favorite passages of the Course, it talks about, when it's talking about faithlessness, it says that the only thing that's missing in any situation is what I fail to bring to the situation. And then it talks about faith in terms of, it's talking about looking at the wholeness beyond what the body's eyes see. As we all know, as I think we all know, as my understanding of this is, we wanted to experience something different than what was, this tiny man idea. Because everything is one, to see something different would have to be seeing something that wasn't one, something to see a division, in that oneness. As part of that, this world was created. As part of that, our bodies were created. We came to see ourselves as these bodies, as these separate pieces of clay, if you will, and we limited ourselves to these bodies. And the body, of course, is designed to show us that we are indeed separate individuals experiencing separate things in a universe separate from God, separate from each other. You get the idea. And so faith is the road back. Faith is the way to see beyond the body's eyes, to see beyond the divisions that the body, the personal self, to see beyond those divisions that these things were designed to show us. I'm still here. So the idea of faith versus faithlessness is kind of the idea of fullness versus lack. It's where are we focusing our awareness? To approach a situation with faithlessness would be to focus our awareness on what's lacking in the situation. What have you done for me lately? What am I failing to get out of this situation? And it's my understanding, contemplating this material, that this faithlessness, this what have you done for me lately attitude, this focusing on the limitation and lack, this is a conditioned way of looking at the world. This is what we do, and I assume it's what everyone does. I think that's what A Course in Miracles is telling us. It's certainly my experience that this is how we approach people. This is how we approach situations. We're always looking for the lack and the limitation and what I haven't gotten out of the situation. So, yes, a conditioned way of looking at the world. So, the practice has to become to supply that lack. Right? If there's a lack, if there's anything missing in any situation, it's what I have failed to bring to it. So if I'm seeing a lack in the situation, it has to be the lack that I'm perceiving. Remember that giving and receiving are the same. So if I am receiving a lack from the situation, it has to be what I'm failing to supply. So if I perceive that lack, my job is to step up and supply that lack, to fill that lack. If there's a hole, it's because I have not yet let my wholeness flow into that perceived lack. So that's what I'm required to do in every situation. That's seeing through the eyes of wholeness. You know, A Course in Miracles talks about, you know, everything is either an act of love or a call for love. This is exactly it. And, you know, at some point it occurred to me, oh, my God, the call for love is not a call for someone else to be more loving. And I'm sure you're all here. You've all gotten that years ago. But it's a call for me to supply the love that's missing in the situation. This is the same thing. This is exactly what we're talking about. So when I'm participating with someone else, I'm either participating in the love that's there, or if I see the lack, then I'm stepping up and supplying that lack by supplying the love that is apparently missing in that situation. Yeah, offering the miracle, that's it. Yeah. So, in preparing for this talk, let me get a sip here. Sorry. In preparing for this talk, I love the internet, by the way. I think the internet's just the greatest thing since sliced bread. You can type in any question into the internet and get an answer. So I typed in the name of my talk, right? Just to see, because, you know, I was looking for a reading. I had looked at a number of things in the course and had been thinking about these ideas over the course of a couple of weeks. But I just hadn't settled on any particular reading. And so I typed this into the internet, seeing through the eyes of wholeness. And at that time, I came upon a talk by a woman you all may be familiar with, but I was not familiar with her. Her name is Amoda May Javon. Let me type that in the room. Oh, there she is. She is from the UK and is apparently awakened. Certainly, she's very, very clear. And she had given a talk called Seeing Through the Eyes of Wholeness. So some of what I will share with you this morning is from her talk that I would be happy to post. I think that I'm going to post that in our one of our Awakening Together Facebook pages. Amoda May Javon. At any rate, I just wanted you to be aware that's out there, because I would love for you to be able to access that talk. Okay, so she talked about our relationship with each present moment. So what we do in every moment is we go into the moment and immediately begin judging it. We begin sorting through the things in the moment. We begin comparing it to like our ideal moment. We're measuring it against the ideal experience. We never appear to be just in the moment. We're like, oh, is this going well? Do I like the way this is going? Do I like what I'm hearing? Is this what I expected to happen? You know, we're always holding it up to comparison. Yeah, not just being with what is. And what this does, you know, it's funny, but it's so profound. What this does is it keeps us from experiencing the moment. This is the separation. We perpetuate this separation in every moment. I mean, in every moment. Are things going the way I want them to? Am I okay with this? And what we do is we wrap the self, the personal self, and the sense of the personal self around each moment. And in that way, we separate ourselves from the moment. We are actively separating ourselves from life in each moment. So it's difficult to describe. It's difficult for me to describe. But it's not, you know, we've I have read for years the Course in Miracles telling me that I am actively participating in the separation. Well, how does that work? I don't feel separate from God. I just don't feel well, right? I just feel like crap. But this is it. By being the partial observer, you know, the call is to be the impartial observer, just to be in the moment. But by being the partial observer, we remove ourselves from that moment. Instead of letting life flow through us, we're judging it every minute. And I'll tell you, looking at these issues over this past week or so, I could really feel that. I could feel myself, for example, you know, I had Christmas dinner here. My son came over and my dad came over, and it was a nice dinner, but I could see myself doing this, and it's just fascinating because, and the thing that, I'm sorry, I just get so excited that I have 15 thoughts going at once. The thing is the judgment is not necessarily a bad judgment. It's not like, oh, I'm better than she is, right? It's not like, they suck, I don't. It's constantly checking back in, doing the self-referencing thing to see if what's going on, meets with my expectations. So it's like, you know, instead of just experiencing my dinner, experiencing the food, it's like, ooh, did this turn out the way I wanted it to turn out? Is my son saying the things I would have a son say? Is my father showing me that he loves me with the words that are coming out of his mouth? I can hear this. It's very subtle going on in the background, but not just occasionally throughout the meal, and not just when somebody says something nasty and I make a judgment about them. You know, always, always doing the self-referencing thing. How does this meet with my expectations? And if you listen for this, you can hear it. Yes, self-referencing everything. This self-referencing keeps us from just experiencing the moment. Amoda Ma talked about the fact that, in her talk, talked about the fact that consciousness has no content. Rather, consciousness is that in which all content occurs. So that in order to really meet reality, in pure consciousness, is to meet reality as innocently as a newborn lamb, she said. Right? To leave all that, and it's the same thing the Course was saying, to leave all that stuff, not to bring all that stuff into the current moment, to really participate in the holy instant. How do you participate in it? By not participating. Right? By just being there for the experience. Yeah. So we can begin to really, and I got to tell you, you know, I probably tell you this every time I talk, but I really feel a shift with this. It's just amazing. And I feel the shift because I'm looking and I'm seeing where there's division in my experience. I'm seeing where I'm separating myself from my experience by looking for my opinion about it. I'm seeing that I can be in the moment without rejecting anything, without denying anything. This whole idea reminds me of what Gangaji is talking about when she says that her instruction from her teacher, Papaji, was to just stop. And she's like, well, how do you do that? You know, you guys have heard me talk about this before. How do you stop? Okay, I'd love to do that. How do I do it? Well, this is it. This is how you stop. Just stop. Stop self-referencing. Just be in the moment. Amoda Ma says that when you see that division, that practice that we do, that self-referencing that we do, when you see that division only creates more division, then you can let it go. Then you can stop. Because what you see is that that division creates the lack that you seek to fill. So, you know, it's true. We take that with us. Into our spirituality. I talked about this a couple talks ago. How do I do this? You know, can I achieve this? How can I make this happen? That's part of it. It's part of that self-referencing thing. How can I make this moment, measure up to where I think I ought to be spiritually? What I think I understand spiritually? How does that match this? You know, just stop. Just stop the self-referencing. You see how this relates to that idea of faithlessness. We have the habit of looking for the lack. We have the habit of focusing our attention on the lack. And once you're focusing your attention on that lack, as I said earlier, that's what you get. You get more lack. Just rest in the fullness of the moment. All right, so let's look at NTI, First John, chapter 5 again. The symbol of seeing Jesus as the Christ is the same as seeing all brothers as the Christ. For the seeing that recognizes the Christ is not without, but within. When you see the Christ in you, you see the Christ in everyone and everything. And when you see the Christ in anyone, you also see the Christ in you. I mean, what else could this be talking about? Yeah, that's it exactly, Teddy. You'll never stop self-referencing until you realize the price self-referencing is costing you. Yeah, that's it exactly. And that's what this is talking about. This is this first paragraph that I've read here of NTI, First John chapter 5. So we say that. I see the Christ in you. The Christ in me greets the Christ in you. You know, I've heard this for years. What does this mean? It means not looking for what's missing in the situation. Not looking for what have you done for me lately. It means looking from the fullness, knowing the fullness of the experience is there. It's mine to see. That's what's called for me to see and experience. Nothing else. Nothing else. When you see the Christ in anyone, then you'll see the Christ in you. Giving and receiving are the same. Back to NTI. It says, this is what is meant by transcend or overcome the world. It is when you see the world and yet you see beyond the world so that you know what it is that you see and you're no longer fooled by the images of the world. Remember, we've got to look. You're going to look out there and you're going to go, yeah, but that guy really is treating me like crap, right? No, it's not right. That's apparently what you see. That's not the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is that if you are experiencing lack or limitation, if you're experiencing anything missing, it's because you're not appreciating the fullness of the situation. Yeah. Yeah. God has given eternal life, and this life is his son. To understand this is to understand everything, and to understand everything is to love everything. You're getting what you want to see. You're getting what you're focusing your awareness on. To understand that is to understand everything. Yes, yes, what Teddy's written. I think this guy's treating me like crap. You must own it. You can own the thought. And then you can release it. NTI says, there is no judgment when you see through the eyes of God. Hey, there's that idea. And again, what we tend to think of as judgment is you're thinking poorly of someone else. You know, you're comparing yourself to someone else and you or they, either one, is not measuring up. But it goes beyond that. It's that whole idea of needing to check in with this personal self, with this construct of how the world ought to be and how you ought to be in the world. I mean, you've built this whole thing, and every second you're checking in to see if things are measuring up. That's the judgment that's being referred to here. There is no judgment when you see through the eyes of God. For through the eyes of God, you see nothing to judge. There's no self-referencing when you're seeing from the eyes of fullness. You see only perfection. And you know that the perfection you see is God. It's all perfect. Then I'm going to read you some more. Verses 13 through 15. In seeing God and in knowing God, confidence is also known. For in seeing God and in knowing God, one knows that he received only as he has asked. You've received only as you have asked. We've just said that. In knowing this, his desire to know anything different from this fact is taken away. Right? The tiny man idea that we practice in every moment. I want to know something different than perfection. I want to know something different from oneness. But that desire to have this moment be different than it is, which is that self-referencing that I'm talking about, that's the ultimate quote-unquote problem, if you will. Needing this moment to be different. Needing this moment to be different is the issue. So in knowing this, in knowing that you receive only as you have asked, his desire to know anything that is different from this fact is taken away, because to remember the truth is to want only the truth, and to want only the truth is a gratitude that desires nothing different than what it is. So let's stop with the tiny man idea. Let's stop creating the separation. Let's rest in this moment. Let's see what this moment has to offer us. It's amazing, but it seems to me that it's really this simple. I'll read verses 18 to 20. We know only that the truth is true, but in knowing this is all knowledge given, for there is nothing else to know. In seeing this is all sight given, for there is nothing else to see. And in hearing this is all hearing given, for there is nothing else to hear. Do not let your desire rest on knowledge or experience that is not truth. So that's, I mean, again, the same idea. Quit pulling these ideas that you think you've learned from the past. Quit pulling that into the present. Just be in the present. And you know, the way to do that is just see where the division is. And I was shocked once this idea came to me, once this teaching came to me, to see that I'm doing this in every moment. I mean, in every moment. I'm holding myself from the present. I'm holding myself from the truth. By this need to go, okay, how am I doing now? How's it going now? Is he being a good son now? Is he being a good dad now? Is this how things are supposed to be going? How's my meal? You know, just eat, right? Just love. Just be. That's what stopping is. That's what Gangaji's talking about. That's what NTI is talking about. That's what A Course in Miracles is talking about. Just stop. Stop. Stop narrating. You know, that's what Michael Singer's talking about in the Untethered Soul. You don't need to narrate. You don't need to figure out if this is the way you want it to be. Just be. So really, this idea of looking to see where you are looking for division, where you're seeking to see lack and limitation. This is the idea of taking it beyond corrective, because I think we've all got the idea that, you know, when you really think, you know, what Teddy was talking about a while ago, when you really think, oh, this guy's treating me like crap. Oh yeah. Okay. Now, I know that's my thought. I'm going to turn that over to Holy Spirit. You know, that's the corrective aspect. So let's take it beyond the corrective aspect. Let's look at how we're doing this when things seem to be going well. Am I in this moment? Am I in this moment, or am I thinking about this moment? And there's a difference. And I noticed the quote that the daily quote that Dove posted just before the service started. It's a Ken Wapnick quote. It says, if there is no world out there, what are you reacting to? Ask yourself that question every moment of every day. And then he adds, when your peace is disturbed. And I would just take that last part of that quote off, when your peace is disturbed. That's a good place to start. But let's ask ourselves that question every day. What are you reacting to? Yes, who's doing the narration? Just be in the moment. And I guarantee you, if you start looking for the narrator, you'll find where you're looking for division. You'll find your habitual device of seeing the world, your habitual way of looking at the world. And I think that you'll be surprised to see that you're indeed looking for lack and limitation. How is this situation not measuring up to what I would have it be? I think that you will find yourself doing that much more than you ever imagined that you did. And as we know, seeing is the correction. So once you see that, it will be healed. So let's all practice seeing through the eyes of wholeness. Just being in the moment. Just appreciating the perfection of every moment. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for all of you. And I don't know that I have anything else to say. Let me read what Barb has written. The mind engaged in planning for itself is occupied in setting up control of future happenings. Time becomes a future emphasis to be controlled by learning and experience obtained from past events and previous beliefs. It overlooks the present, for it rests on the idea the past has taught enough to let the mind direct its future course. Okay, yeah, we create, it's all created in that moment, in dividing ourselves from that moment. And that's what Barb has told us. You know, it's the creation of time. It's all in that. So I'm going to, let go of the mic and, we will have, a closing song. I'm looking, I'm referencing my, order of service here. We will have a song to wrap this up. During the song, Barb DeWater, our administrator, will post a link for you to make donations if you would like to do that. What we really want you to do during this closing song is to just be in the moment. Just take this opportunity to just sit with and contemplate what I've talked about here today, and then we'll be in the next moment. And we'll have an opportunity to discuss that some more. So I'll let go of the mic now. Thanks.
Words I have to say may well be simple, but they're truth. Until you give your love, there's nothing more that we can do. Love is the opening door. Love is what we came here for. No one could offer you more. Do you know what I mean? Have your eyes really seen? You say it's very hard to leave behind the life we knew. There's no other way, and now it's really up to you. love is the key we must turn. Truth is the flame we must burn. Freedom the lesson we must learn. Do you know what I mean? Have your eyes really love is the key we must turn. Truth is the flame we must burn. Freedom the lesson we must learn. Do you know what I mean? Have your eyes really seen? Do you know what I mean? Have your eyes really seen? Do you know what I mean? Have your eyes really seen? Do you know?
Oh, beautiful song. Thank you, Lynn, for playing that. That's perfect. So, Phil. Okay, guys. So now it's your opportunity to share. Yeah, it was perfect. So, please share, share your thoughts, your insights on the matter, on the matter at hand. Okay, Lynn, please take.
All right. Thank you, Jacqueline. What a beautiful, beautiful talk this morning, and absolutely so very true. You know, we wonder, you know, why do I keep having the same experiences over and over and over again? I keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again, and you'd think that I would learn from them. But you would think that I would learn from them because you think that I'm really experiencing them. But what happens is when experiences come up because of the ego's dislike of anything that is uncomfortable or unpleasant, even praise and love is seen as being uncomfortable and undesirable, really, from the ego's point of view. You will reject parts of your experience and actually not even pay attention to most of your experience. I don't think people really understand how little attention we are actually paying to the experience that we're having. And so we're not actually having the experience at all. We're really having our experience of us having the experience, and we're not learning the lessons. We're not personalizing it. We're not internalizing it and recognizing that it's coming from, the calls are coming from inside the house. We're trying to avoid the call instead of recognizing that it's our own call for love and our brother's call for love, and that's all it is. And so once I started realizing, until I actually experience what it is that I'm here to experience and learn the lessons that I'm here to learn, and I stop avoiding the experience because of the fear of pain or the fear of disappointment or the fear of rejection or whatever fear my ego throws in there to separate me from living the life that I'm here to live, I just will not live the life I'm here to live. And I will always feel empty, and I will always feel hungry, because I'm not getting what I came here for. So you know, the love is what I came here for. And so that song was specifically, I had several songs, and that song was exactly to me what you had just said, Jacqueline. And so be here, experience the love, experience your experience, quit rejecting it and running away from it, hiding under the pillow, get out there and live, and then you know what it is. You know whether you really want it or not. You know, if I never actually have it, I don't really know if I really want it, but I think I do. But now that I have it, I can make a choice. Is this what I want, or do I want heaven? And that's the only way I'm going to really make that choice. So thank you, Jacqueline. Excellent topic this morning, wonderful, wonderful knowing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, it's, you know, when we really are, we're just, we march in and we try to take command of every situation, and, you know, and we're trying to take ownership of this thing instead of being the consciousness that life flows through, right? We're still trying to direct this thing, instead of just experiencing the moment. Yeah, and that's the call. Just see what it's like without interpretation. I'll let go of the mic, Regina.
Hi, I just wanted to share a tool that I use that's kind of related to this, because sometimes it seems like something is needed to help us get from, you know, what you're calling self-referencing judgment. I love the term self-referencing. I've never heard anyone use that term before to describe what we're doing, and I just think that's magnificent. So thank you for bringing that to us. You know, sometimes we need a bridge, or at least I need a bridge, to go from that self-referencing to the just being. And one thing that I find that works well for me is questioning. People often use the word inquiry. And, of course, I do use the traditional inquiry, you know, like, who is it that's seeing this? You know, what is watching this? But I often, you know, just use the inquiry, looking more for the direct experience of it. You know, like today there's a little bit of a itchiness in my throat, and, you know, scratchiness in the nose. You know, and once upon a time, self-referencing, there would have been all kinds of thoughts, oh no, I'm getting sick, and, you know, whatever thoughts would follow that. But instead, what I find myself doing is just looking with what I would call a sense of inquiry and awe. You know, what does that just feel like? You know, what does that just feel like? Right? There's no real interpretation. It encourages looking. It encourages being. It encourages awareness. You know, so what does this just feel like, you know, right now? That's a very common question I ask. I also find that, you know, in dealing with others, questioning is just as important, you know, in communication. Like, often what we do, it's so funny. We do it until we know better, but it's so funny, and it's actually kind of idiotic. We tell other people what they're thinking. Well, you think blah, 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 blah. You know, and you know, how do we know what other people are thinking? It's much, much better to say, you know, I don't understand what you just said. What is your thinking there? Or you know, here's how I understood that. Is that correct? You know, and going into inquiry also brings us into a better state in communication as well. So I find that instead of judging, another word for judgment to me is decision making. Instead of making decisions about what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing and deciding what it is, practicing inquiry with openness is a wonderful bridge that then takes me into being with whatever is. Thank you very much, Jacqueline. I really, really loved your insight this morning. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Regina. Thanks for sharing, and thanks for sharing the tools. That's wonderful. Yeah, it's helpful. Yeah, and Barb shares, do I know this is true, as an additional tool? Yeah, and when I was looking for the reading, Byron Katie came to mind. I thought, ooh, I bet, you know, loving what is the same idea. Can I know this is true? But I didn't have Byron Katie's book in front of me, so I wasn't able to find it. It's funny because I really looked for a reading on this. Yes, Michael Langford has a similar method, but I really looked for a reading on this and I just wasn't seeing it. And I saw some good stuff in Joel Goldsmith and, I wasn't finding it. And I picked up NTI and I think I rejected that as the reading, a couple of times, you know, rejected even picking up the book. I don't know why. And then I picked up NTI and it fell open to this page. And I'm like, oh my God. NTI 1 John chapter 5 says every single thing that I want to say in my talk. So I'm just, very grateful that, always I'm given what I need, on a silver platter. Always. And I know that this is true. And I intend to look for that in every moment, to just really appreciate what is given in every moment, because it's all given all of the time. Yeah. So I appreciate the opportunity again to share with you guys today. I am going to turn the mic back over for our closing song. And deepest gratitude to all of you, my church family. So I'll let go of the mic. Thank you again. I was asking Lynn to play us a closing song. I don't know that I have the ability to do that. I need to get her to teach me how to do that. But Lynn, if you're there, could you play us a song? Thanks. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
All at once, out of the blue, when I was unprepared, I started seeing you, hearing your voice, calling my name, across the universe, feeling a burning flame. Love will lead us on, everywhere we go. Love will lead us on. My heart tells me so. Love will lead us on and on and on. And love will lead us on and on and on. You know it's true. All at once, in front of my eyes, a world beyond my dreams began to materialize. Hearing your voice, calling me on, across the universe, singing my Osho songs. And love will lead us on, everywhere we go. And love will lead us on. My heart tells me so. And love will lead us on and on and on. And love will lead us on. Love will lead us on. On.
My heart tells me so, and love will lead us on. And on and on and on and on and on. And love will lead us on. On and on and on.
Love will lead us on.
And on and on. And love will lead us on.